It's Thursday, August 11, 2011. I'm Ben Bowden, and this is the First Baptist Daily, a daily podcast aimed at the understanding and application of God's Word. I want to be honest with you. I've got a love-hate relationship with country music. And here's what I mean. I love songs sung by Alan Jackson, George Strait, even Kenny Chesney and Brad Paisley. Whenever I hear Don't Rock the Jukebox or Amarillo by Morning, it takes me back to the days of Nintendos, hypercolor t-shirts, and Slurpees from the junior food store. The days when I knew it all, and I actually thought I was cool. But I'll be honest with you, whenever I hear country music singers trying to tap into their little country spirituality, it makes me want to bang my head against the wall. And the reason is because most of the time, what they are saying is anything but the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take, for instance, Alan Jackson's hit, Where I Come From. The lyrics say, where I come from, it's cornbread and chicken. Where I come from, a lot of front porch sitting. Where I come from, just trying to make a living and working hard to get to heaven. Where I come from. And that's why Alan Jackson is a singer and not a theologian. See, Scripture teaches that, contrary to Alan Jackson, you can't work hard to get to heaven. I mean, if you worked hard, you're still not getting there. But then that does pose a question. We've got to ask, what about good works? I mean, if good works aren't necessary in order to receive salvation, are they important at all? Can we just take them or leave them, since they don't really help us in being saved? In one sense, good works are not necessary in salvation, for it is by grace we are saved. But in another sense, good works are necessary in salvation. Before we get any further, let's dive into the text. Ephesians 2, starting at verse 8, says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Okay, just stop right there. This passage couldn't be clearer that good works are not a requirement for salvation. For if they were, no one would be able to attain it, not even good old Alan Jackson, because even when we work hard and we pull off feats of morality with a smiling face, see, we still have sinful hearts. And the Bible says that even our righteous acts are filthy rags. So no, good works are not necessary in order to obtain salvation. In fact, they don't help in our salvation at all. But on the other hand, good works are necessary, are the necessary response to being saved. Look at verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them." So we see that while we are not saved by good works, we are saved for good works. See, this is why James 2 says that faith without works is dead. He's not saying that works are the basis of our salvation, but the necessary outworking of our salvation. Hearing must lead to doing. Faith must lead to works. That's why in the end, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." That's Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. See, an oral confession of Jesus as Lord does not always indicate a person has saving faith. Let's make this personal. Let's ask a question. How do we know that we are saved? What evidence is there to know that we have saving faith? According to Jesus, it is doing the will of the Father. In other words, to put in Pauline terms, good works that God has prepared beforehand for us to do. So here's how we've got to think about this. While good works have nothing to do with why we have been saved, good works truly show that we have been saved. Let's read Titus 2, verses 11 through 14 together. This is huge in dealing with this topic. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of our Lord, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. All right, ask yourself this question. Are you zealous for good works? Do you desire to glorify God through your good works? If not, you've got to ask the question, are you really saved? Or are you among the camp who say to Jesus, Lord, Lord, but will not enter the kingdom of heaven? Here's what we've got to do. We've got to fix our eyes on Christ, remembering him and his grace, and then let's play ball. Let's play ball. Let's get in the game. Let's roll up our sleeves. Let's lay down our lives and get after it for the kingdom. This is what we were created for in Christ Jesus. This is called grace-motivated obedience. It is necessary. May we be a people for God's own possession who are zealous for good works, and in so doing, magnify Christ in all the earth. Now, on Fridays at the Daily, we take one of your questions. If you have a question for the First Baptist Daily, you can send it to ben@fbcenterprise.com or on Twitter at twitter.com/jbenbowden. Tomorrow's question is quite interesting. It reads, I was traveling north on I-65, just south of Birmingham, and I saw a sign that read, go to church or the devil will get you. What do you think about that? Do you feel like that is an effective means of evangelism? We're going to look at that biblically tomorrow when we meet you again on the First Baptist Daily.